Let's pray before we begin this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we bow our hearts before Thee this morning. We lift our voices up to Thee this morning. Lord, before we even open the Word of God, read it, listen to it, hear it, preach it, or receive it. Lord, we need You. We need Your help this morning. Lord, You've told us we can pray. You've said, call unto Me, I will answer. You've told us to come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, we ask and we need to be fed by Thee this morning. Jesus told us to pray to our Heavenly Father and that we could ask for our daily bread. And Lord, we ask not for physical food this morning. We ask for spiritual food, that only Your Spirit through the Word of God can come from Thee. But Lord, we need to be fed by Thee this morning. Lord, that our souls would be satisfied, nourished, and strengthened for the moments and days and weeks ahead. Lord, our daily bread. And Lord, we pray that You'd be glorified. Glorified as the Word of God is read, preached, listened, and received and obeyed. And Lord, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 26. Now, I may have preached this earlier. I don't know. But I will say this. If right now you're saying, Pastor, you just preached this recently, I would say, yep. And for that, I will not apologize. Because if there was one passage, if the Lord said there was one passage that I could preach every week to the church, to Christians, it would be this passage right here. And I would preach it from the text, and I'd preach it through the scriptures and the testimonies. But it's a passage that we need to know, we need to be reminded of, and it needs to be so much a practical discipline in our life. And it's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and verse number 4. And this is for every individual here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest. Whether you're thinking about today, tomorrow, the future, whether you're going through a struggle or whether you're not, it's for each and every one of us. For in verse number 3, it says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Thee. For he trusteth, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Bible, from beginning to ending, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, is the truth of God. It is the word of truth. Every verse, every story, every promise, every statement is true. And not only is it true, but God bears witness to it throughout the testimonies that are given within the pages of Scripture. If I were to make a statement, in fact, I'll make a statement. It was hot outside yesterday. Now, for the majority of you, you'd say, well, sure, that's obvious. That's true. But there might be someone that was not outside yesterday. It might be someone here or someone listening online that was inside in a nice air-conditioned room all day yesterday and never stepped outside. And they might say, well, I don't know if it was hot outside. And if someone were to say that, I could just easily stand here this morning and say, would everybody in the room, no, don't do this, would everybody in the room that went outside yesterday and wants to testify that it was hot outside yesterday, just stand up. And probably everybody in the room that went outside yesterday, even stepped out the door, would stand up and say, yes, it was hot. Well, throughout the scripture, we are told to have faith in God. We're told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then as Christians, we're told to trust God, have faith in God. In fact, the last author of the Bible, John, would write in 1 John chapter 5, and he would say, this is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The book of Hebrews is all about faith, holding fast and firm to our faith, not moving away from the confidence that we have in the Lord. And then in chapter 11, God himself gives testimony after testimony of people, real accounts of people that lived by faith and the victory that they had. Probably the most well-known in that chapter is David. And it says there that David, and it goes on the next verse, it says they subdued kingdoms and wrought victories. And David, by faith, when he was yet a young man, went up against the Philistines and went up against Goliath, and God gave him the victory. And so when the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. In other words, that overcomes everything that we face in the world, from the circumstances outside to that which is within our own heart and mind. That victory is found in our faith and trust in the Lord. And this is what Isaiah chapter 26 is telling us. But in Isaiah chapter 26, there's so much there. As you meditate upon it, as you think about it, for you might just read it and say, well, yeah, Pastor, I know that. But when you really stop and you feed upon it and you think about it, it starts off with two simple words, and yet they give us so much assurance right off the bat, right from the beginning. Thou wilt. Two simple words. And yet it points us to the whole crux of the matter, the whole focus of the matter. Thou. It's speaking of God. It's speaking of the Lord. And then it says, He will. He will. And that right there separates us from many other things. For I or you can say, I will. But then we have to stop and think, are you able to do that which you said? Will you do that which you say? Are you capable? Do you have the character? And yet it says, God himself, the Lord, will. And it goes on to say two things, but it brings it back to why. It says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Two important things that are brought about because of our faith, and more importantly, our steadfast faith, our daily faith, our hourly faith, our minute-by-minute faith, trusting in the Lord, not just with the brain, not just with the head, but with the heart and in the life. And it encompasses, these two verses encompasses everything about trusting in the Lord, everything about walking walking by faith. Everything about facing circumstances. Everything about dealing with inward thoughts and emotions. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And this morning, as we look at this, there's three things we're going to look at. And the first one is the principle that God gives us. The principle that God gives us. God gives us a principle here. When God gives us a principle, then we have personal responsibility. What am I going to do with the principle? What am I going to do with the Word of God? The other day, a fellow asked if he could use my skid steer. And I said, sure. And then I told him something. It's an old machine. And I says, when you use it, do not run it at high speed, especially in the heat. Run it at a very low speed. For if you run it at high speed, it will overheat very quickly. As we were leaving our house, I said to my wife, it's going to overheat. I can hear him. He's a lot like me. He didn't listen. And he's running at high speed. I was at the doctor's office and I got this text. Your machine overheated. And I smiled and says, I didn't say any more than that. My mind was saying a lot more than that, but I didn't say anything more than that. Basically, this isn't the doctor's office. You know, we can choose to live by this principle, or we can choose to neglect it as we go through life. And the results are based upon our decision to receive the Word of God and apply the Word of God or not. But you see, the principle is this. Notice what it says in verse number 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Trust ye in the Lord forever. The first thing I want to point out here is it says, trust ye. And that word ye, when the word ye is used in the Bible here, it's speaking of everybody, anybody. It applies to every one of us. For here, the prophet Elijah is speaking to the whole nation of Israel. He's speaking to a multitude. And he says, you trust in the Lord. And he says, forever, forever. Think about that. Forever. Well, what is he saying? He's saying for every moment, for every day. Not just when you're in dire straits. Not when you're in the depths of despair. Not when you can't figure out the circumstance or the way out. But forever. Make it a daily practice of life. A daily principle of life. Trust in the Lord forever. But in this verse, he also goes on in the next little part, and we're going to stay focused on that word trust, but he says, for in the Lord Jehovah. The word trust means to put your confidence in, to put your confidence in someone. And the reason you put your confidence in someone is because you know that person. You know about that person. You know the character of their life. You know their capability. And he says, trust in the Lord Jehovah. And in those two names, I want you to think about this. In those two names is everything we need to know about God in whom we trust. Trust ye in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah. The first name for God there is the Lord, the Lord. And what that means is he is over everything. He is over all. He is high above the earth. He sits on his throne in the heavens. He is the Lord. When Jesus Christ arose from the grave, the Bible says that he gave him a name which is above every name, every other name under heaven given among men. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only Jesus, the one that walked on the face of the earth, the one that lived among men, the one that came down from glory and lived the perfect life here on earth. He is not only the Christ who God sent into the world to save the world through his sacrifice on the cross, but he is the Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is sovereign over all. The Bible says, who is like unto our God? There is none. But more than that, well, not more than that, but another aspect of that is in that name, Lord, it's the personal name for God. Many times in the Bible, we read of God. In the beginning, God. In Genesis 17, God Almighty, speaking of his strength. But when it speaks about the Lord, it is not only that he is the master over everything, but it speaks about the personal nature and the personal aspect of God. And that's because he wants us to know that to trust in him, we must know him personally. You see, it's not enough to just read through the Bible and know all the facts and everything that the Bible says about God, about the Lord. More importantly, it's to know him personally. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 for a minute. 1 John chapter 5, that same chapter that speaks about our faith. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And then look down at verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. But in verse number 20, when it speaks of knowing him that is true, and being in him that is true, that's a personal knowledge of the Lord from a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Back in Joshua, as Joshua begins to lead the Israelites, and before they were to cross over into the promised land, Joshua tells them, he said, today, or he says, tomorrow, you will know that the Lord God is among you. And you see, first, if you're going to trust in the Lord for your life, you have to trust in the Lord for your salvation. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And only then will it open up the door to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And only then can you know the personal presence, power, strength, and everything else about the Lord God in your own life. And then this verse becomes your life. But it's says, trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And what it means to trust is to put your confidence in him. And when you put your confidence in him, you're saying, I have no confidence in myself. I'm not relying on anybody else. For everybody else, including myself, is so much imperfect. And while someone might be there today, what about tomorrow? The capabilities they have today, they might not have them tomorrow. But when you trust in the Lord God, your trust is in the right place. We heard last Sunday morning a statement that Job made, a statement about his faith and his trust in the Lord God. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. We could go over to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 1, where Paul says this, I know whom I have believed in. Paul says, I know whom I have believed in. And he says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. They're both saying the same thing. Job says, I'm entrusting my life, my soul, my everything, my future, everything to the Lord. And I know that my Redeemer will stand. Paul says, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have the full confidence, the full assurance that as I have committed everything that I am, everything that I will be, everything unto him, that it's in a safe place, that he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And when the Bible writes in Hebrews chapter 11, a testimony of all these people that live by faith, that's essentially what they were doing. For if you were to go over the book of Daniel chapter 2, as these three young men were challenged whether or not they could determine the meaning of the dream of the king, they said these simple words. They said, we're not able, but there is a God in heaven. Later on, as they stood before that fiery furnace, and they were told, you either bow down to the king, or you'll be cast in that fiery furnace. They said, you can just see it. They said, we're not careful to answer you. We don't have to think about this. This is simple. Our God, who is able to deliver us, if he wants to, he's gonna do it. And if not, we're still trusting him. Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. The Bible says afterwards, that the testimony of why he was delivered out of that lion's den, because he believed in God. Paul stands on a ship in Acts chapter 27, stands on a ship as every man is fearing for their life, thinking they're going to crash and die. And Paul stands up. You just picture this. Paul stands up in the darkest of days when all hope is given up. Paul stands up and says, be of good cheer. You know, those men must have looked at him and says, what? Are you nuts? He says, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and I believe it will be as he has told me. He says, we're not going to die. Every one of us is going to be saved alive. Testimony after testimony, testimony. The people that trusted God, and God gave them the victory. And the Bible says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Jehovah, the word Jehovah, the name Jehovah, means a self-existent eternal one. Two things, eternal. I'm thankful for that, because that means that the same God that all of these folks before us trusted in is the same God today. He's the same, never changes. But it also says a self-existent one. In other words, he needs nothing. Did you get that? He needs nothing. Last Sunday night, Pastor preached about how we have needs, but God doesn't need anything. But it goes further than just not needing provision. But when it says he is a self-existent, it means he is everything, so he doesn't need everything. He doesn't need wisdom, he is wisdom. He doesn't need strength, he is strength. He doesn't need peace, he is peace. He doesn't need power, he is power. He is everything. And so we can trust him, because many times we trust in things, but then when we run to them, if you will, they're lacking. Probably the majority of men at this day and age have battery-operated tools. You have a battery-operated drill, and it's in your garage. And I'm sure there's been a time where you have run out to that garage, or at least for some of us now, walk slowly for a half an hour to get to the garage. And then you get to your drill and you look and say, where's the battery? What did Levi do with the battery? Where's the battery? Well, I got someone I can blame it on. And then you find the battery and you plug the battery into the drill. And what happens, Will? No one charged the battery, right? Either you can't find the battery or someone forgot to plug it into the charger. And all of a sudden you got the drill, but you don't have any power. Well, thank the Lord that he is self-existent, in need of nothing. So everything that we need, he is, and therefore has throughout eternity, even today. And that's the principle. That's the principle. And the principle puts our attention on him. The principle takes the attention off of ourselves. For most of the time, when we struggle, it's because we're focusing without even thinking about it, inwardly instead of upwardly. Or we're focusing on the outward instead of the eternal. And the principle is, listen, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 16, David says, he is my hope, the Lord in whom I trust. Proverbs 3, trust in the the Lord with all your heart. Paul says it. Have faith in God. But then there's two things that come out of that trust. Two things that come from that trust. And the first one is in verse number 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Says he will keep you in perfect peace. Keep you in perfect peace. This is why these verses are so important. Because every one of us, without exception, I don't care who you are, I don't care how long you've been saved, because if it's for me, it's for you. And I'm saying it's for me. Is it we go from moment to moment. In some moments, we can stand up and say, I have peace. And other moments, we're struggling to find that peace again. And it all comes down to this. He will keep you. And notice what it says, in perfect peace. Paul writes over in their Philippians, and he says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus, in John chapter 16, he says, I am come that you might have peace. He says, my peace. He says, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But he says, that peace, he says, it's my peace. He says, that's where you find peace. And Paul says, that peace is beyond your understanding. It's that peace that keeps you, keeps your heart, keeps your mind. But in Isaiah chapter 26, it gives us a principle for that peace. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. And that's the key to having this peace. Whether you have it or if you're seeking for it, here's the key. He says, your mind needs to be stayed or fixed upon you. Anybody that's done any farming or plowing or anything like that in large areas knows that there's a very important principle, especially for getting a straight line through a field. Whether you're mowing, whether you're haying, whether you're plowing up the ground, you start at this end, and if you want to get a straight line, you keep your eye fixed on something, and you don't let your eye waver. If I want to walk a straight line to the back of this church, I would keep my eye fixed on that most handsome young man back there named Ken Dulce. I wouldn't let it wander anywhere else, but I would start walking, and I just keep my eyes fixed on Ken Dulce. And if my eyes are fixed on him, I wouldn't get distracted over here. I wouldn't get distracted over here. My foot, because if your eye drifts, your feet drifts. If your eye drifts when you're driving, what happens? Your hand on the steering wheel goes to where your eye is. And he says, keep your mind fixed upon me. Keep your mind fixed upon me. Pastor, how do I do that? You just start and keep thinking about the Lord your God. When your thoughts start to waver, you just stop yourself and you say, wait a minute. I just go to this verse. I just go right here and I start thinking about the Lord. I go from here in the next verse. I start thinking about for myself a Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For Psalm 23 takes you down through every aspect of life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Right there, you take those two verses, and right there, God takes your mind and your thoughts and begins to bring them into a sense of peace. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me, presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You start thinking about the Lord, and then whatever it is that's bothering you, you think about those attributes of God that speak directly to what's troubling you. I need wisdom. Well, the Bible says, ask of God, but before you ask of God, listen, think about this. Who's the only wise God that is all-knowing? And he says, if you keep your mind fixed on me, your thoughts upon me, he says, I will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Get that? Complete peace. Perfect peace. And that's why I said this is a principle that we need to grasp, remind ourselves, and continue to go to every moment of every day. And so the first thing is a principle. The second thing, which I didn't give you the point, but it's already there, is his peace. His peace. Well, how do I know that he can give peace? Well, this is where you read your Bible. You get the testimony. Because right there, as I'm thinking of it, my mind just goes to it. The Gospel of Mark. The disciples are out on the boat, middle of the night. What is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. You know why? He's at peace. He is peace. They wake him up and says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He stands up and says, peace, be still. And what happens? Well, over the course of the next 3 months, it calms down. No, instantly, the Lord brings peace. And they said, even the winds and the waves obey him. Put it to you this way. The God that is able to calm the storms of the world and calm the sea and the wind, don't you think for a moment he is able to calm your thoughts when you put your mind and your trust in him? I have this thing with oxygen. It has forced me to do something that for so many years of my life, I never knew how to do. To stop and pause. Something I never got the hang of. No aspect in my life. I was just a freight train rumbling down the tracks. And now I have to stop and pause. I have to stop and pause when I breathe, when I speak, when I walk.
walk.
Because if I don't stop and pause, boy, I tell you what, well, we don't want to go there. When I stop and pause, the air comes back in, lungs settle down, heart settles down. When you put your mind on Jesus Christ, first thing he says is, I'll still the storm in your mind. I'll give you peace. And then there's one more thing. It says, thou will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, trusting in the Lord Jehovah. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. There's that word everlasting. I like that because his strength is everlasting, which means it's there for me today, tomorrow, the next day. But he says, if you trust in me, I will give you the strength. And he's not talking. It's not talking about physical strength. It's not talking about being able to lift weights. It's not being able to climb a mountain. Well, maybe it is. He says, I will give you the strength to get up and to go through the day in the circumstances that you face. He says, I will give you the strength. I will give you the strength. Paul says this in the book of Ephesians. He says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. Paul says, God is able to do in you more than you would ever think, according to his power that works in you. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And you know when Paul writes that in Philippians chapter 4? By the way, the context in which he is saying is he says, I've learned to be content. And he says, I can be content not through myself, but through Christ. And I can say the same thing. The only way I can be content in my current health circumstances is through Christ. Because in myself, I am not content. Not at all. But when I trust in the Lord and go to him, he gives me that peace and the strength that enables me to say, you know what, Lord, this is your will. It's what you got for me. And I'm thankful and I'm content. Now, I'd be a liar if I said that every moment of every day, that that's my attitude. But when it isn't, I have to stop, reflect, go back to Isaiah chapter 26. Paul would write Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And he'd write to Timothy as a young man, as a young pastor. And he'd say, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And our strength doesn't come from ourselves. But the Bible says we are frail, we are weak, we are undone. But our strength is in the Lord. Our strength to go through the day. Our strength to face whatever it is we face. The strength to be content. The strength to have the courage to walk. Do you think that any of those people in the Bible had the courage or the strength themselves to face the challenges? You think David had the courage himself to go Goliath? Do you think those three men stood in front of a furnace and had the courage and strength in themselves to say, we don't care either way? No, that was from the Lord, folks. And it's the same thing in our lives. The peace that we need to deal with life only comes from above. The strength that we need only comes from above. David said, my help cometh from the Lord in whom I trust. And it all goes back to trusting him, trusting him. It's so simple and we know it and we've read it, we've learned it, maybe we've memorized it, but living it. We need to remind ourselves, think about it, go back to it daily, moment by moment, day by day, and learn that trusting in the Lord Jehovah, that's where we find peace and that's where we find strength. And therein is our God glorified. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray the word has been a help to each one of us, that we would learn in a very personal, practical way, trust you. And we thank you, Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.